Hey today, such a beautiful day. The weather is so nice. I was thinking outside how it is. We had a long hot summer. Maybe we'll go have a cold winter, but right now it just feels so good to be outside. So just a wonderful time of the year for me. Peter speaks about things that are precious. We may not use the word precious very much. Perhaps we do, but you don't hear it often today, but Peter speaks about precious things. Now, in our life, we have things that are precious to us. It may be a piece of furniture. It may be a wedding ring that your mom had. It might be that you have some places you like to go and it means a lot to you. It may mean, many times it means people. People are precious to us because they cannot be replaced. And so, in our life, we have things and we know that what precious means. I was thinking about those people down on the Gulf Coast that have been lost so many things and destroyed, and there's no way they can replace these things. I was talking, in fact, to a brother, I guess it was Tuesday of last week, Brother O'Neill from up at the church in Estesburg in Kentucky, and he's been working down there along with his son and along with another brother in the church back in Estesburg. And Brother O'Neill is a tree surgeon. He's got the equipment to do the work with. And in fact, the churches have been supporting him because he's not charging the people down there because he said they have no money anyway. You couldn't go down there and work and make money because they have no money. He said the jobs are gone, the houses are gone, the doctor's office is gone, the insurance office is gone, the cars are gone, the schools are gone. He said you'd have to see it to believe the devastation down there on the Gulf Coast. And so, like I said, churches have been supporting him down there, just had to pay his bills and had to pay his help down there. But he said, you could not believe what's happened to people. And you know, so many times in this life, we don't realize what things mean to us until they're gone. I can only imagine what it'd be like to go home and my house is gone, or the school is gone, or the car is gone, the grocery store is gone, the doctor's office, the hospital is gone. They've all been destroyed. I can only imagine that. And some of the things we don't miss till it's gone. Back when you were young, you didn't have to worry about having eyeglasses or things to help you see or maybe things to help you hear. And you could run and whatever. But as you get older, you lose those things. You've got to have things to help you in this life to be able to see and to hear. And sometimes we even have to have walkers or these little scooters they have to get about in. And I'm sure that as you get older, you look back and think about the days when you had these things, and now you didn't realize how precious they were to you when you had them because you just took them for granted, didn't you? And so many things in life we take for granted. Especially when we're young, we take it for granted and say, oh, we all always have it. Sometimes we take people for granted. And we don't think much about them until they're gone. We don't have them anymore. We can't talk to them and ask them things. I think so many things now that I like to ask my mother and daddy. And I can't do it anymore. And if they're listening to you today, you still got your prayer pleading. Ask them questions and talk to them about things that when they're gone, you cannot find out about. Realize how precious they are to you and how precious other people are. Well, Peter talks about things in this life that are precious, that should mean so much to us. And the first thing I want to read to you in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, you got your Bibles on the train. We're going to have most of our reading today in Peter. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Now, Peter's talking about here are the trials and troubles that these people are going through. And he says, "For in you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." He said, now you're having problems because of temptations. And he goes on to say in verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor And glory is the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Peter talks about here that the trial of those people's faith is precious. What they're going through is precious. How many trials have you been through in your life? At the time you were going through those trials, it's hard for you to see or even believe that they're doing you good. Because of the time you're suffering, the time you're sorrowful. The king says that these trials you're going through are more precious than gold. Because he says gold will perish. Any amount any wealth we might accumulate in this life can be lost or stolen or destroyed. But trials that we have stick with us. And they mold us into a certain person. We've heard of people talking about years ago when they were young and how hard they had to work. And as they look back on these things now, they realize how these troubles and how this work molded their life and how it made them appreciate things in this life that they wouldn't have appreciated if it had been given to them. They didn't have to work for it. If we go through trials in our life, we can look at it as a time that is precious to us. Trials are different in many ways because they bring out the best in us. And they cause us also to depend upon God. Throughout the Bible, God always instructs us to depend on Him, to count on Him. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you living, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Life will have its problems. In Matthew the 7th chapter, just keep your finger there in Peter, we're going back to Peter, but Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24. Jesus talks here about life in general. He talks about how we're going to have problems in life. And he says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house, or built his life, upon a rock, and the rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And he's talking about life. As we go through life, we will have the rain, we will have the wind, we will have the flood, we will have problems in life, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. But he says, if you build your house upon the rock, that someday you will stand, no matter what you go through in this life. And so as we face these trials that we endure, we've got to know that it pushes us to lean upon God. We've got to know that in God's own time, He will save us. He will be with us at all the time, and He will save us someday. And it also teaches us how fragile our lives are. And sometimes we feel like we're kind of indestructible. Maybe when we were young, we felt that way. But trials remind us that our lives are fragile. That we're just down here for a short time, and our strength, our stability, our present, and our future all depend upon God. But for the grace of God, please, we could be like those people down on the Gulf Coast. That storm could have picked up. It could have come up here. It could have destroyed my house and your house. It could destroy all these things that we have today in this world. We know that could be so. Trials, though, cause us to depend upon God. They shape us, and they develop our faith. Number two. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. And again in 1 Peter, chapter 1, this time, verse 18 and 19. And Peter says here, "For as much as you know that you will not redeem with corruptible things, excel in gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But, he says, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we've come together today upon the first day of the week. And so the main thing we're here for, the main thing we're here for is to remember Jesus Christ's death and suffering. This is the most important thing today that you will do all this week. That's right. The most important thing you'll do all this week will be done by you this morning. It's named the Lord's body. You will partake of His body. You will partake of His blood. And Peter says it is His precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when you partake of it this morning, whatever you do, you can't partake of it worthy. But you can partake of it in a worthy manner. Because we're not worthy to partake of it. None of us are. None of us will ever be. But we can partake of it in a worthy manner by discerning His body, of remembering that He died for us, remembering how much He loves us and cares for us. And see, we've got to realize how important this precious blood is, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have no hope. We have no life. We have nothing without the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is saying here. The ancient world had many rituals associated with redemption. The Jews offered animal and grain sacrifices. The pagans offered animal, human, and money sacrifices. And all these gifts that they offered were designed to redeem people from their guilt or to redeem people from their enemies. That's why they offer these sacrifices. But Peter reminds us here of a greater redemption by a more precious sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is different from all sacrifices. His guilt was without blemish. He was without sin. Yet He offered Himself before God, as a redeeming sacrifice for every person, for every man. So we've been redeemed from our former lives by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But friends, do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever, during your day, as you're lying on your bed at night, think about that Jesus Christ, His blood is precious to you, what it means to you. And you may think about other things that are materialistic. You may be glad that you, and you may think about your house you're living in is precious. It may be storm outside, and you're glad to have the house you're in to be away from the weather. You may think your car is precious because you've got a way to travel. Your clothing to keep you warm. You may think about people that are precious to you, and how much they mean to you. But how many times do you think about Jesus Christ's blood being precious to you? Does it mean anything to you today? Has it changed your life? Has it changed your thinking? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. The good news that in one magnificent act, God gave His Son to die for us on the rugged cross of Calvary. To redeem us from sin, to redeem us from guilt. He says He suffered. He was put in open chain. He was spit upon. He was slapped. He was beaten. And He died for me and you. He died for me and you. He gave His precious blood for me and you. That we might have life. We might have hope. As God's people, this calls us back to the center of our faith. That's what it does to us. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. It's what we hold on to. Because of Jesus Christ, it's sent Him to death for all sinners. That's what His cause was. That's what He came here for. He came here to suffer. He came here to die. He reminds us we were redeemed by the precious, spotless blood of Jesus Christ. May God help us to tell the world about this precious blood. May God help us to tell everyone about this precious blood. But as our lives such that people would listen to us if we told them about it? Would they be surprised if we said something to them about the church, about His precious blood, about His death on the cross? Are we living the kind of life that exemplifies that we are His followers, that we are His children, that we are His people? That we do count and we do believe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Then also the cornerstone is precious. In 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders which alive, the same is made the head of the corner. And friends, a cornerstone is the beginning part of the construction of a building. It's got to be laid right, it's got to be laid square, it's got to be worked laid just in a certain manner, because if it's not done just right, the doors, the windows, the roof will not be square, will not be stable unless the cornerstone is right. And we understand that in construction work. But what about our life? Jesus Christ is called a living cornerstone. A living cornerstone, He's called. To Him, all believers are added to become a living building. Now, the church we talk about is not this building. The church, really, is you and me. We are part of this living building. And we build our lives upon this living cornerstone. Without Him, our life will not be square, will not be stable. And the error might be slight, but we will eventually crumble and we will fall. Because our life will not build on Jesus Christ. And friends, He is the cornerstone. He is what we build our life upon. The living cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Without Him, at the center of our faith, we will have no stability. Our life will be crooked. Without Him, we would fall. You might remember what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things, he said. And the reason he can do that is because Christ is his strength. Now, he's no respecter of persons. God gives us the same strength that we can have today. And we can do in this life whatever it comes to us in life. The trials we suffer, the things we endure in life, because Christ is the one we build our lives upon. I wonder what non-believers do for the basis of their lives. You ever wonder about that? Let me tell you something. Now, you may not realize this about your life, but every day, as a Christian, whether you do well or you do poorly, you depend upon God. Think about it for a minute. When you do well, you thank God for it. When you do poorly, you turn to God also and pray to God and ask God to be with you and to guide you and help you and to forgive you and to lift you up. Every day of your life is like that. Because He built your life on this cornerstone that Jesus Christ is. When in doubt, what do? You go to Jesus, don't you? And you don't know what to do. Who do you turn to? You turn to your Lord. You turn to Him in prayer and you ask Him to be with you and to guide you and to give you His Spirit to save you from Luke. You ask for that. And why do you do that? Because He is the cornerstone of your faith. He is the one, if you believe and you have complete trust in, and know that He loves you, and you love Him also. You always return to that point to find your way. You always return to that point to find your way. Without Him, your life will not be straight. And let me say something else. Sometimes the life of others without Him will not be straight either. We'll not be straight, or we'll not endure the stresses of this life that we have down here. Therefore, it is of the greatest importance that you make Jesus Christ the center or the cornerstone of your life. It is of the greatest importance that you make Him the center or the cornerstone of your life. That you build your life upon Him. Every day of your life is to be built upon Him. Is what His Word has said to you. I can read you something in Thessalonians. Paul talked to him in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Look at verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And brethren, as we go through life, we're going to be faced with certain things. Okay? He says to look at that glory that is. Think about what you're doing. Think about who you're keeping company with. Think about the job you're taking. Think about how you're living. He says, prove these things. Well, think about these things. And he says, hold fast that which is good. It may be a program you're watching on television. It may be a book you're reading. You ever stop and ask yourself, is this really best for me? Is this good for me? And you know the next verse what he says? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay, now in this life, as we build our life on this cornerstone, we want to prove these things we face in life. We want to what? Hold fast to that that's good. But he reminds us there that abstain from what appears to be evil. Now that covers a lot of ground. If you see things in your life, and you're decision making, and you think, well, you know, this appears to be evil. It has to appear to be wrong. He reminds us of sanctity. And see, that's how we build our life on the Lord. We prove what we do in life by what choices we make. We prove these things. We abstain from things that are evil, things that are wrong. We build our life on this cornerstone. And this cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And when we do, we become part of a building that He wants us to live. I want to ask you a question. It may be kind of hard to answer. But how important a part of the building are you? Think about it. Now this building that we build our lives on is His church. How important a part of this building are you? Are you part of a faithful few that does the work, that can be counted on? Are you? Maybe someday we will answer for our lives. Someday you will give an account of what you've done in this life down here and how you have built upon this precious cornerstone of Jesus Christ, how you built your life. It won't matter what the preacher says at your funeral. It's not going to change one thing about your life. You're going to give an account someday for what you do down here. Because we have got to prove all things. We've got to hold fast to that which is good. We've got to examine the things we're doing, the places we're going, the words we're saying, the songs we're singing, and the clothes we're watching, and the books we're reading. And take our minds on. Prove these things. Hold fast to that which is good. And he says abstain from all kinds of evil because we're building our lives on this cornerstone of Jesus Christ. The precious, precious cornerstone of Jesus Christ. The faith of others is precious. You know, Simon Peter is such an interesting person to me. He was, of course, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But you know, we see Peter for being the first one to, so to speak up. You remember the time he cut off the soldier's ear? Did you really think he was trying to cut off that soldier's ear? I don't think so. You say, well, what do you think he was doing? I think he's trying to cut off his head. When somebody takes a sword around your face, I don't think they're trying to cut off your nose or your ear or whatever. I think they're trying to cut your head off. And he was the one, Peter was the one that did exactly that. Because it's so dear, of course, Jesus said that. But he was also the one, you might remember, that told the Lord, tell the others forsake you, Lord, I will forsake you. You might remember what Jesus said to him before the rooster crows, saying, you're going to deny me 3 times. And all Peter did that very thing what the Lord said he would do, didn't he? He even cursed his sword, didn't even know the Lord. But later on we see Peter, a man that's dedicated, devoted to the Lord. Now, as we are that way, as we should be, we see other people and their faith is precious to us. You know, this I told you earlier about this brother going down over working in Mississippi. You know, it's so inspiring for me to talk to him. There he is. Going over there. And the fact the church here, mate, if you want to find out more about it, then search it over. I'll tell you more about it. You might want to even help support him down there if he keeps going back. I don't know how long it's going to be going on. But either way, it's so inspiring his faith and his devotion is what he's doing. Working down there and trying to help as he can. And you know, I say other people's faith is precious. And Peter talked about that too, about the precious faith of others in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. And he says here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And no matter what Peter had been through, before and what he had done and said before, he says, now he says, it's on you to have this precious faith that I have. Peter was a man of faith. We see Peter, what he's done before, but now we see him as a man that has this great faith in the Lord. And he says, you have this precious faith also. And I'd like you to examine your thoughts this morning about this and ask yourself this question, what does the faith of others mean to me? Now, sometimes in church people leave. And we feel like sometimes maybe it's just one. And they leave and say, well, it's just one person. And they don't come back. And one by one, people leave the Lord. Because you don't go to them, you don't say anything to them, you don't call them. You don't care more about their souls than that. It doesn't mean more to you than that, that you just let them go and you don't try to bring them back. You don't remember reading the story about the lost sheep? Got 100, but one is lost, and he goes for the lost one until he finds it. How precious is other people's faith to us? What does the church here at Mount Carmel mean to you today? If you come here today, you can have that warm feeling about love and appreciation. Because others are here today that have this precious faith as you do. Peter said, this life, precious faith. And then, God's promises are precious. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, he says here, whereby are given unto us, notice what he says, exceeding great and precious promises. You know, if somebody offers you something, would you take it? If it was exceeding great, you say, sure I would. Well, what if God offered you a home in heaven forever? Well, you can be there. No troubles, no trials, no crying, no separation. Eternal joy. Exceeding great and precious promises we're offered. And we're promised by God. And Peter says that it's precious. My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on these precious promises of our Lord. It's so valuable to us. He says trials will make us better. It calls us to depend upon God. His promises are true. They do make us better. We know we're forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God keeps His promises. We know that Jesus Christ is a sure foundation that we can build our lives upon, this cornerstone, this precious cornerstone. God always keeps His promises. What enables us to succeed in life is God's promises. We're saved not because we're good enough, but because God promised to save us in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're confident in the future, not because of our skills, but because God promised to be with us. Even when in turmoil and stress, we have hope and we have confidence, knowing that God will not abandon us. And eventually, in His own way, God will come to our aid. Precious promises from His precious Word. Yes, my friends, in this life, there are many things that may be precious to us. You may have a special family, your children, your relatives may be precious to you. You may have achieved some special goal in life. You may have got some special reward for that. But there are things that are more precious than all the things in this world. And Peter talks about these precious things. As we stand this morning and sing a song of invitation, it's a time we set aside for you to decide about your life. If you're not a Christian, we ask you today to come to be baptized. You come in contact with this precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you build your life on this cornerstone. On this cornerstone that Jesus has laid for you. This precious cornerstone. Come today believing on Him that He is God's Son. Come today repenting of your sins. Decide if you will no longer serve Satan, that you will serve the Lord the rest of your days. No matter what you've got to turn your back on, you turn your back on it today to serve your Lord. You make that good confession by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. You can be baptized today for forgiveness of your past sins. If you are a member, perhaps you've not lived as you should, please come back today and make a confession, ask for forgiveness, ask for prayer. God will forgive you. Won't you come together? We stand and we sing.